The following message was given by brothers Osmar Suarez and Peter Yu in the church in New York City on the Lord's Day, February 2nd, 2020. The title of the message is The All-Inclusive, Extensive Christ Having the Preeminence in All Things. Scripture readings, Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 and 18.
Place where in our heart, when right now, amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
This conference, the messages delivered there on the book of Colossians have been very helpful to me. But if I'm honest, many of the things that I've been reading here were not the first time I heard them. So I question myself why we need to just go over and over. Actually, my son made a comment in one meeting, one of my children. He said, I am amazed at your ability of you brothers to speak on the same thing for so long. And then, what is the point? Well, the point is that we don't get it. Yes, you see, oh yeah, Christ has the preeminence. But is it really? We know, the Bible tells us that the Lord is the Lord of Lords, that He is the King of Kings. But I rule in my heart. When it comes to decisions, I make the decisions. So, oh Lord, may the Lord have mercy that we will see something, that our spirit will make a click, that something of reality comes in and makes a change. And this particular week, honestly, I was clueless. Like those verses in Daniel there, I was like, what are these verses doing here? I was so confused. But praise the Lord! I got something. I got one thing. And one thing is good. And I just want to share that one thing. And that one thing is that we may give Christ the preeminence. Oh, that we may give Christ the preeminence. And I don't know if preeminence is a word you usually use, but English is my second language, so I have to look this up in the dictionary. What is this? And preeminence is not only about being in first place, but it also involves a position of honor, a position of eminence, worthy of being exalted. So it's not the same thing like when you're making a line and you're first on the line, you don't have the preeminence. You're just first in the line, but you're not being exalted. And it's not a position of honor, you're just there first. But the Lord is first in all things. This was God's will. And it is God's will that He's first also in us. You know, for Christ to be the first in time and space, this was God's will. The galaxies function under some laws of physics from the creation, and they obey those laws, and Christ is first. Christ has the preeminence in the entire universe. But it's easy for the galaxies to function with Christ as the preeminence, but it's not that easy that you and me function with Christ as being preeminent. Because those galaxies do not have a will. But you and me, God chose to give us a free will. He did not make us love Him. He just loved us and loved us until we fall in love with Him and love Him back. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So this shows us the key of how we take Christ as the preeminent one. We need to love Him. But our heart is complicated. And this is why I was impressed with this week, that the spiritual things are not only a matter of the human spirit, but also of the heart. You know, first of all, it's God's will that Christ will be the preeminent one in all things in us. And we have something they call the key statements. And they are so helpful. The first one explains this will of God The will of God. What is the will of God for you? What is the will of God for me? The first key statement based on the truth revealed in the book of Colossians tells us that clear. It's just a long sentence. And that long sentence says that God's will concerning the all-inclusive and extensive Christ is that we will know Christ, that we will experience Christ, that we will enjoy Christ, that we will be saturated with Christ, and to have him become our life and person. Five things. This is worthy of memorizing. So God's will for us concerning the all-inclusive and extensive Christ is these four things. That we will know Christ, that we will experience Christ, that we will enjoy Christ, that we will be saturated with Christ, and that Christ will become our life and person. Saints, when this happens, that Christ is not only our life, but is our person, we will have the manifestation of the one new man. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The bride will be ready. Christ will come back. This age will come to an end, and we will reign together with Christ. Hallelujah. This is God's will for us. And how the Lord can accomplish this? Well, Colossians tells us how. Hallelujah. I was so impressed with this. So, first of all, it is clear in the scriptures that Christ has the preeminence. Can we take a look at Colossians 1, 15 and 18? The verses we read tells us that the firstborn of all creation, well, first he says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. So he is the first in the all creation. And verse 18 tells us, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that he might have the first place in all things. So this phrase here, that he must have the first place, this phrase first place is the preeminence we're talking about. And he is the firstborn from the dead. Right. So he is not only the first in the old creation, but he is also the first one in the new creation, in resurrection. So it is God's will that Christ will have the first place in all things. But how about our family life? How about our personal life? At work, in our church life, the Lord must have the preeminence. And this matter, okay, we probably already knew this, but that's where I got help. The involvement of the heart. It's not just that I exercise my spirit to touch the Lord and to enjoy the Lord, but the heart is crucial. And the Word tells us this. The Apostle Paul prayed in Ephesians 1, 17 and 18. First, he prayed that the Father of glory may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. So we need a spirit of wisdom and revelation. But then the following verse speaks of the heart. The eyes of our heart haven't been enlightened. So these two things must go together. We cannot be just satisfied with being in a meeting, enjoying the Lord. Well, the heart needs to be involved. Because whatever occupies our heart, that will get the preeminence. So we need to fill the heart with the Lord. But you cannot fill a cup that is already full. There needs to be some unloading. You know, this reminded me of Luke chapter 2 in the account of the birth of the Savior. He was born in a manger. And there in verse 7 tells us a key phrase. It says, because they did not find place in the inn. There was no place in the inn for them. There was no place. And the note tells us that the inn was occupied. The inn was occupied with fallen mankind and his busy activities. That exposed me. Aren't you busy, or at least feel busy? Sometimes you're not even busy, but still you feel busy. Oh, the heart is always occupied. because the heart of man, of fallen mankind is just occupied with many other things but Christ. So we are coming out of the old creation into the new creation through resurrection. And we need to experience our Lord by giving Him the room in our heart to be filled with Him. And this is very, very practical. In the Bible, we see this continuously, the spirit and the heart. In this account, the spirit is mentioned first. But in the Psalms, in the experience of the psalmist, in his experience, he put the heart first because he figured that is the problem. Psalm 51, he prays, "Create in me a clean heart." And then he exclaims, "Oh God," saying so many times, "This has been my prayer. Because I want to follow the Lord. I want to give the Lord the first place, but then I don't. So I have to pray this prayer. Oh Lord, my heart, create in me a clean heart, oh Lord. A heart that is unloaded from everything else and can be filled with the Lord." But then that prayer continues, "And renew a steadfast spirit within me." So again, we have here the matter of the heart and the spirit and the heart. And the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36, verse 26. There, this is a wonderful verse. Says, "I will also give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you." Saints, we have to realize this. If we have received the Lord, we have received a new heart and a new spirit. The spirit is the receiving organ so that we receive the dispensing. But the heart is the loving organ. We don't love the Lord with our spirit. We love the Lord with our heart. So the condition and the content of our heart matters very much to give the Lord the preeminence. Oh Lord, so may the Lord fill us with Himself. We saw this week that the way of restoration is exaltation. So this refers to the Old Testament. The people of Israel were in the land. They built the city. They built the temple. Hallelujah. But then, at some point, they were exalting the Lord. But at some point, they began to exalt other things. And Christ did not have anymore the preeminence. And the consequence was, they lost the temple, they lost the city, and they were carried away from the land. Actually, it says that the temple was desolated. It was empty. It was everything, all the riches that were there was no longer there. And this happened as a result of not having Christ in type as the preeminent one. But then they came back. They came back as prophesied with Ezra and Nehemiah. And something needed to happen. They not only came back, but they have to check the purity of the people. Because many of them got mingled with the women from Babylonia. And so nothing but of Babylon could be in the temple. So they had to pay a price. They have to be willing to be adjusted according to the word of God. And they made that decision to leave everything behind of Babylon, even the wives and children that they have from the Babylonians. They had to forsake that and come to build the temple for the sake of the temple, for the sake of God's intention. So for us today, it happens the same principle. But then there we see this, that the way of restoration for them to be restored and the temple to be restored and the nation to be restored was exaltation. And exaltation has to do with giving Christ the first place. This morning I enjoy the many hymns that we call on exalting Christ, because even the Father has exalted the Lord and given Him a name above every name. So we must be those also who exalt Him. And when we take other things first, that is the thing that we exalt. So this helped us in a very practical way. This reminded me of something I recently went through. I work in school as a teacher, and there was something called the quality review. And for those who are teachers, you know that's the trembling word. When you hear that, everybody's scared, everybody's running to finding ways to show off that they're doing the right thing and that they're improving, blah, blah, blah. And then there was that kind of anxiety. And I was with the Lord in the morning, and I was praying that everything will go well there. And then I was touched. Wait a minute. Probably all of my coworkers are going there for the quality review of the most important thing they're going to do on that day. But that's not the most important thing I'm going to do in this day. The most important thing I'm going to do in this day is exalt Christ. Oh, Lord, He needs to be the first place in our heart. That we will, oh, Lord, remove everything else from our heart to give Him the first place. And then here's when these verses from Daniel comes in. And I was very helped by this. Because in the book of Daniel, we see three main martyrs. And those three main martyrs we see in the book of Daniel are the preeminence of Christ. Christ as the portion of God's people and God's heavenly rule. When I read this in the book, I said, the preeminence of Christ in Daniel, where do you see this? Christ as the portion? I know we saw that in Deuteronomy, but in Daniel? And God's heavenly rule, well, I kind of understood before. But yes, Christ is the portion of God's people in the book of Daniel. Because if you remember, Daniel and his friends were taken captive to the Babylonian land, and they were given the food of Nebuchadnezzar, the food that was offered to idols, and they refused to partake of that food, and they took instead something pure. And this is a picture. This is a picture of not taking all these other things of the world into our heart, but taking something pure. And the something pure is Christ. And by taking Christ, they exalted Christ. If they have eaten the food of Nebuchadnezzar, they would have exalted Nebuchadnezzar. But they did not do that. They ate Christ, and therefore they exalted Christ. Oh, I was so helped by this. If we are filled with Christ, if we are saturated with Him, or we receive Christ as a reality in us, then He will take the first place. He will take the preeminence. He will take the place He deserves in our heart. It's not enough just to take down the note and know, oh, I have to give Christ the preeminence. That's not going to work. I have tried that, probably you have too, and we have failed so many times. So the only way is to absorb the riches of this rich land. Amen. Last week, I was so helped to see. We saw that this was exposed in the meeting, that we are in a living land. So when we talk about walking in Christ, our walk in Christ, I always thought like kind of an effort to be in Christ. But actually, it's about sending our roots down, being rooted in Christ, absorbing all the riches that are in Him. And this living land, that's the walking. It is the land that walks. It's not me walking. It's the land that walks, and my walk, it is considered as my walk as long as I am rooted in Him. So, saints, the key to give Christ the preeminence in all things is to absorb Him, is to be filled with Him. And He will take the first place automatically. But we have to take care of our heart, of the things that come to our heart. Another phrase that helped me very much this week was that whenever God's people exalt Christ, there is restoration and revival. This is a principle that we see throughout the Bible. Let me read it again. Whenever God's people exalt Christ, this is giving Him the preeminence, there is restoration and revival. Oh, saints, many times we need restoration within, but we need to give Him the preeminence, to exalt Him, to give him the first place in all things, to love him with the first love, to love him with the best love, by absorbing him. And then this brings a revival. You know, in Acts chapter 2, verse 46 and 47, we see there that the believers were in one accord, and that they partook of the food with exaltation and simplicity of heart. Again, the simplicity of heart. The heart needs to be simple. What is a heart that is simple? It's a heart that has one love. Love for Christ. A Christ that have one desire, to seek Christ. A heart that has one goal. Saints, one goal. What is your goal? Oh, Lord, our goal must be Christ. Amen. We get up every morning with a goal to gain Christ. Amen. Oh, a heart that seeks only him. And when we give Christ the preeminence as this principle, that whenever God's people exalt Christ, there is restoration and revival. The next verse in Acts 2:46 is Acts 2:47. There we see what happened. They were praising God and having grace with all the people, and the Lord added together day by day those who were being saved. Sometimes we like to see at this last part, but that's a process that involves our heart to give the Lord the first place, to give him the preeminence in all things. Amen.
Again, there are two cars. You need to move your cars, sorry. And one is black, it's blocking both driveways across our neighbors. One is a Honda Civic, plate number is JEB2220. The other one is red Impala. Plate number is HWH7961. Please move that car because the neighbors are complaining. So, sorry, saints. We need to give Christ the preeminence. Yes, not parking in the neighbors' driveways. So, praise the Lord. And our brother just had a wonderful opening because this word, preeminence, is used only this one time in Colossians 1:18. And this similar words has been used throughout the whole New Testament. For example, as a chemist, we all know the word proton. So proton is one of the basic particle in the nucleus of any atom. You know, you have an electron, you have a neutron, and the other one is proton. It's a positively charged particle. As a matter of fact, it's a Greek word. It means first. Everything is a first. This word used 61 times in the New Testament. It's our Lord, and when he speaks, and also his place in time and space, he is the first in everything. So that's the basic fundamental root word for all of this. And then the other word we used many times when we were studying the crystallization study of Exodus, called prototokos, right? It's a prototype. It's also related with a proton. Yeah, proton. Prototokos is the first model. Okay. So every time when somebody release a product like an Apple iPhone, they say it's a prototype, right? Or, you know, some young brothers that drive some pretty flashy sports cars. I'm not gonna name, but they enjoy it. This is a prototype. This is more than a limited edition. It is the first design. It's almost like the first seed. Like our Lord said, a grain not falling to the ground and die. You will abide alone. But if it dies, it produces many grains. So that seed was the prototype. So the prototype was designed and processed and made it to perfection by our Father God. That is our Lord. So that's why in this week's message, we talk about He has the preeminence and the first place, even in the Godhead of the triune God. Okay. And then, of course, this word, preeminence, this is a very unique word. It's not only in place, in time, in sequence, in quality, but it's unique. It's unique. And the preeminence doesn't mean the first one. And then there is following second one, third one, fourth one. No. He is the only and the unique and the all-inclusive. And everything as a in Him, and He is in everything. So saints, these are all very important words in the New Testament. So the proton as the first, prototokos as the type. Okay, so the first model, first type. And we are duplications of the prototokos. But we are not the second after the preeminent one. So you need to make sure, okay? So we are the reproductions, particularly the church as the reproduction of Christ and the reprint of the Spirit. So saying, so there's a few words we have been using it for many years, but this week, the word of preeminence is being used quite throughout this week's messages. Before I go on, brothers and sisters, I feel such a relief when we reach January 31st. I said, Lord Jesus, finally January is over. Because it's been such a month of 2020. This month, I have to confess, in my prayers, I probably used the word, the head, the throne, the authority, the preeminence, subject everything under the feet, probably the most frequent in this January than any other months in my Christian life. Because so many things are happening in the world, in the universe, in many nations, among many people, saints also in New York, in the church in New York City. Well, the other day, early Saturday morning, just woke up in the early, very early, just praying for the church. I said, oh, January finally is over. Let me just summarize what happened in the church, in U.S., in the world, what's happening. Oh, Lord Jesus, that's such a long list. Yesterday, I mentioned to Roger, I said, this is only January. This is truly sevenfold intensified. Since many things are happening, but who is on the throne? Our Lord. Oh, the more these things are happening, doesn't matter is power change, doesn't matter split from a union to another nation, doesn't matter what's going on, as an invisible, even a virus, is causing such a havoc, such a turmoil. The scary within people's heart, either visible or invisible, since it's happening. But who is on the throne? In the book of Ezekiel, we realize when they are in captivity, when they were just suffering, and the Lord opened the heavens to Ezekiel. And when he saw the Son of Man still sitting on the throne, and He is controlling everything. Since we need to give Him the preeminent position, the preeminence in everything. And whenever these many things are happening and people really get troubled, really bothered, because I received some prayer list from church in Wuhan, because that's where the epicenter of the this virus. And when I saw it, saints, quite a number of saints got infected. So you know the scale is not a small scale. And saints, of course, facing difficulties, facing this kind of really troubling, unknowing situation. And if we only say, okay, let's just be peace, just keep it calm, keep it peace, and don't worry about it, as if we're just telling our kids, you know, just, you're hungry, just drink some cold water. And that's how I grew up, you know. Just after a whole day, just drink some cold water and go to bed. So once you go to sleep, you won't feel hungry. No. But yeah, I, you know, gone through many, many of those cold, hard winter days. But since on one hand, we have a sympathy, we can help with our limited capacity, but since prayer and a faith upon the one who is sitting on the throne, since we as a church in New York City should not be shaken up by any of this, because our inheritance is a kingdom unshakable. Amen. Since these days, many things are happening in our government, in Europe, in the Middle East, in the Far East. So many things are troubling our hearts. And when our Lord was telling the disciples, Simon, Simon, many things are troubling your heart, but there's only one thing we should pay attention to. Many things can trouble our heart. Our brother mentioned, it's our heart, but one thing it should be not lacking is to honor him as the Lord. Since these days, our Lord, we need to really show the fear and trembling and honor and give him the preeminence in everything. There are so many things happening is because we are not. The world is not. He came to the world. The world does not know him. He came to his own. His own does not receive him. And we are the ones received him. We are the ones who know him. We are the ones who not only know who he is, and we have a solid printed word to know his purpose. Since today, the word of God shall become prevailing, shall become penetrating in our hearts. Everything can be over. He said only his word shall abide forever. Since the world has trouble, but we have peace because we have him. In Daniel 4, when Nebuchadnezzar was established his kingdom, you know, he's just enjoying his good life. Who doesn't want a fame? Who doesn't want a money? Who doesn't want a power? Who doesn't want a position? Who doesn't? All these are the targets, goals of the worldly people set and pursue. And we're so happy to see so many young ones sitting here. Don't take it the wrong way. You have to do well in school. That's a training for your humanity. But the world as a goal is not your goal. Amen. Our Lord is your goal. Amen. When Nebuchadnezzar was sitting on the throne and daydreaming or just enjoying his power, his life, we know he had a dream. He had a dream, pretty scary dream. And when he called Daniel over, and Daniel interpreted that dream to him and advised him, humble before God. All of this is not because of your power. Outwardly, as if you are commanding thousands of army, taking over the land, taking over kingdoms, but it is the Lord behind. So saints, we need to see, it doesn't matter what a system, it doesn't matter what an ism, doesn't matter who is doing what. Behind, on the throne, there's only one on the throne, the man Jesus. He is in charge. He's the boss. He's the commander and mobilizing everything. Some things may seem like a very negative and detrimental and really contrary to our peaceful living. That's what's happening in the world now. But our Lord, for his economy, for his purpose, he's mobilizing everything. Could be earthquake, could be volcanoes erupting without warnings. Could be a virus come from somewhere. It could be European Union splitting. Could it be U.S. is doing impeachment. It doesn't matter who is on the throne. Our Lord. Saints, do not be troubled. Old or young, do not be troubled. Look at the heavenlies. Our Lord, the man Jesus, is still in glory and on the throne. And when Nebuchadnezzar was really gone through the seven times, and he became almost look like an animal, with the long hair, long nails, eating grass, and sleeping in the wilderness after all those days. And at the end of those days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes to heaven, and reason returned to me. Even though this is such an evil king, even an evil king, the Lord said he is the rod in his hand. He established him, and he controlled him. Yet he, through him, he needed to control the world situation. And when he became proud, say, oh, this is my power. This is my... And heaven speaks. Who is really in charge? Our Lord. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored the ever-living one. For his dominion is an eternal dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of earth are considered as nothing. But he does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And there is no one who can resist his hand or say to him, what are you doing? So these days, many people probably questioning God, what are you doing? At that time, reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my majesty and splendor returned to me. And my counselors and my lords sought me out, and I was established in my kingdom, and a surpassing greatness and added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and honor the King of the heavens, because all these works are truth and his ways justice, and because he is able to abase those who walk in pride. These days when I pray for this nation, for Europe, and for China, I always pray, Lord, you are the head. Abase them. Abase them. And many times in the past few weeks, some of our prayers, Lord, what you did with Jonah to Nineveh, Lord, speak to the hearts of those who are troubled. Since we need to pray, it's not like we're treating them lightly. But without a turning to the Lord, none of this really means much. Since we need to give him the preeminence. Pray for all those who either on the throne in different governments or suffering or in tribulation in many places. So people's heart can turn to the living and true God. And yesterday, some of my high school classmates was asking, see if possible, we can ship them some masks. Because quite a few of them are doctors. Because even basic medical masks are running out. People are fighting with one another. And I'm praying, and I'm not asking for anything. I'm just telling you this is happening, because I'm a little closer to that part than most of you are. And I'm praying for them. And you know, as of this afternoon, 5 p.m., many flights and many entrances to this country from China will be stopped. And as a matter of fact, a lot of shipments will be halted. So this adds a lot of more anxiety to so many more people. Since as we go on, this kind of events, this kind of disastrous events, the frequency probably gonna increase, and the intensity probably gonna intensify. Since the Lord said, as these things going on, the love will run dry, the love will run short, will grow cold. That's understandable. But saints, we are talking about here, first of all, if we do not make a peace with our Lord, if we do not look to the throne, even humanly, very little we can do. Even though we can do some, it's very short. We fall very short. Why? Because we fall short of the glory of God. Since these days, this kind of topic is difficult, but we needed to look at to the source. Our Lord is the source of all. And the evil one, of course, is the other source. So we truly needed to turn back to our Lord. If possible, saints, particularly some of the Chinese-speaking saints, this is a good opportunity to pray. Not necessarily to pray for all the virus goes away. No, pray the turn of the hearts of the multitude. Pray for the ones who are like Nebuchadnezzar, feel like they are in charge, so their hearts can turn. And even in this country, we're, you know, about 2 weeks ago, the Lord did something to this country, which opened doors for prayers, public prayers, on the school ground again. Lord, we need to pray for this. We need to pray for our government too. They honor God. They fear God. And our God has been chased out of a school since the 60s. Now today, we pray for our young ones, for our teachers, who can truly exercise to pray for their schoolmates, for their colleagues in their schools. And we have so many colleges, we have a student club, we have a Christian clubs. We pray, even in high school, our high schoolers were there to preach the gospel to their classmates, even to their teachers. Saints, the situation is, the whole world is changing. But we need to recognize that our Lord, He is in charge. Amen. He is on the throne. So this is the first burden I want to share is in the universe, in his economy, in world situation. we need to see He is the Lord. He is the King of the kings. He is the Lord of the lords. Not to be shaken up, and even do not pass along so many things you cannot verify. Just pray. Pray for people's heart, turn to God. Pray for the rulers. Fear God. And the second burden I have, saints, is He has the preeminence in our church life, our family life, and our personal life. And these days, there are so many things. Almost everybody can speak something about a busyness. And the word business is the same as busyness. Everybody who does a business, who run a business, is a very busyness. Since who is not a busy? Everybody is a busy. Even the Lord used the ant. Use the ant as very busy. The bees are very busy. Every creature is trying to make a living for themselves. But human beings are not made to make a living for ourselves. Everything else is a type for us. We are made for our Lord. Our Lord made us, created us in His image, after His likeness, to be a vessel to contain Him. Since this, the church is the body of Christ, which means the church is the container of Christ. So Christ can be the content, the constituent, and everything to the church. He's the head. Amen. Yesterday, I had a few saints come to my place after the whole day fellowship, and we were talking about what does it really mean, the head and the body? We had a wonderful time together because a couple of brothers, they're relatively new. Because we used so many of these terms, and we're just fellowshipping with the brothers and some young sisters. See, what is the relationship between the head and the body? The conclusion, of course, is very simple if you use ourselves as a type. It's one. But there is a sequence. Who is the head? It's our Lord. And who is the body? We are. But who is in the body? Oh, that's the point is the church is the body of Christ. But is Christ everything in the church? We always quote Joshua 24:15. To me and my household, we serve Jehovah. And a lot of the Chinese saints, when they got married, we send them a plaque, said, Christ is the head of this household. Yeah. Is He really? I doubt it. I don't have such a plaque because I confess as the Lord, I'm not. Many times I want to be the head. So gradually, I yielded the headship to my Lord. Lord, just chop my head off. I want you to be the head, my head, my family's head, and whoever I serve, be their head. Since the church is the body of Christ, and this is such a clear statement, and He has to be head over everything to the church. So the body has to be fully one with Him and completely be Him as well. So the preeminence in the church, which means He is the first and everything in the church. So saints, how do we practice it? It's easy to say. It's easy to say. Practice one thing. Never do anything alone. Because it's a body matter. Never do anything, make any decision, unless it's very personal. But with the saints, with the church, and follow the leading of the church. Saints, this is a part. The whole church this year, we had a business meeting on January 17th. Wasn't that glorious? We know that day the weather was cold and rainy, but still there's so many saints show up. Right. We were there cooperatively making decisions. It's not like us, who is in charge. The Lord was in charge. We respect some of the senior brothers or some other brothers, but the respect is out of honoring Christ as the head. Since the church needed to absolutely give our Lord the first place. Amen. And in our family life, yesterday we had a whole day fellowship. This year we pray the family life is for the church life. And a household, every household will be in the church life. Since we know we all have failures, you know, we have regrets. Many of us just, you know, when we hear some of the fellowships, sometimes we feel like, oh no, I'm such a failure, I'm such a loser. Oh, you brothers, if you have had this fellowship earlier, we'll be much better. Oh, this fellowship is good. Is it a real? And sometimes we even say, brother, your fellowship is very good. Are you practicing this? And many parents, we probably heard, or we guessed, or we saw their writing. Many of our children think we're too hypocritical. We talk the talk, we don't walk the walk. Is that true? It is true. It is true. But can we practice everything all at the same time? No. I confess, no. But we are all work in progress. We are all going through these processes, and from young to old, and until we meet the Lord, we are still under construction. We are still under construction. And this morning, I'm so happy to see Brother Ed back. And he was in and out of hospital for a few days, and Brother Bill is here too. And this is all part of the process. We pray for you. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to pray. But we're so happy to see you here. Our hearts need to be joined to one another. Our hearts, our love need to flow to one another. Since the church life is our safe haven. This is the safe haven given to us. In the church life, this is where our families can find the resting place. Our Lord, He quickened our souls. He restored our souls. He led us to the green pastures. He led us to the water of rest. And the church is where our family. We should tie our fall to the vine and rest our labor to be with the saints. So our family life, we should use the church life as the first place. Saints, this is really a good sequence. Our Lord is the preeminent, and the church, His body, is His expression. And our family life, we should rest our family life in the church life. And even our personal life, saints, we need to take our Lord as the preeminent one. We have so many decisions, and a decision. You do real estate, they call location. But for the whole human life, it's decision. And decision making is a big business. We even have a dear sister who used to come to help us, and her expertise was to train executives to make decisions. And she even have books to make, you know, teach people to make decisions. And I have a couple of copies, both in English and Chinese. Very good. But the only thing important she made, she always declares that her decision is Christ first. So if every executive, you know, she trains can choose Christ first, oh, the whole world will be very different. But for us, for every decision, can we exercise to go through our Lord, to let Him to have the final say? Because these days, there's so many little things we go through every day, and what major to choose. Is this major going to land me a good job? Is that job going to be secure? Is that job going to be secure for 10 years? What if after 5 years, the market changes? So all, you know, flash through your minds. Okay? Is this major going to ever be existed? What about after I graduate, machine learning going to take over my job? All this decision, this pondering causes anxiety. Saints, rest in Him. We are not created to do those jobs. We are not created to do many other things. We are created to express Christ. Saints, the Lord will take care of us. Our Lord is the one who called us. And He said, whoever the Father gave to Him, He will keep them until eternity. Do we trust His word? Amen. Saints, the title is very big, but the application is very fine. We need to give Him the position, go through Him, and regard Him as the first one in everything. Because the reason He's the prototokos, He's the prototype, because He wants to reproduce Himself in every one of us. As long as we are willing, our heart, to give fully open to Him, He will reproduce Himself in us. So saints, that's His goal. Amen. Amen. That's His goal. The whole world, all created beings, are groaning because they are waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Today, everything is changing. Everything is changing fast. Saints, the world will change, but our Lord will not change. His economy, His purpose in us will not change. Trust in Him. Rely on Him. Give Him the first place. Give Him the preeminence in everything. Since the church in New York City, we are and we will see the blessings will be sevenfold intensified. We brothers really believe the Lord is really on the cusp to give us, to bless us even more. And there are so many seeking Christians will turn to look for truth. And our door is open. Our door is open for our Lord and for so many dear brothers and sisters who will come to seek for truth. Praise the Lord. I'll stop here.